This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. It's 893-2853, or check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, today we just have a smorgasbord. I really just wanted to speak education. You know, it's been really interesting. I've been back doing a lot of evaluations with patients and just taking note of their progress and how they're doing, what wins they've accomplished, what hurdles they still need to overcome, and figuring out how to be alongside of them with that. And I was able to sit down with a couple yesterday. He came in initially because he had some mild back pain, and started educating him about what we do in the office, because we really look at, you know, five essentials, five pillars of health. Number one is nervous system. You have to address the nervous system first and foremost, because that's what controls every single organ system. We look at nutrition, right? What are you putting in the body to fuel the body? Cells need fuel, and that fuel comes from food. We look at detoxification, right? Hidden sources of toxins that your body might not be aware of. We look at oxygen and lean muscle, being able to be active and move despite hip replacements, joint pain, arthritis. We talk about mindset, really setting goals, feeling and being empowered to be able to make those changes. So that's what we look at in terms of the big five, right? Max mind, maximize nervous system, maximize nutrition, oxygen and lean muscle, minimizing toxins. That's where health comes from as a whole. So I went back and, you know, the wife, we talked to her, and she never really came in with a whole lot of pain, right? So when we were talking, it wasn't, how's your pain doing? How are your migraines doing better? Really, what we started talking about was, hey, let's talk about why you're here, right? Because when you talk about pain-based clinics, you know, think about this. If you went to your doctor today and you said, hey, I feel great. I feel 100% great. I want to know how to stay feeling great. He would probably tell you, just keep doing what you're doing. Eat right and exercise, right? Well, that's fair. But you said, hey, doc, I want you to keep me well. I want you to keep me well. You think about, okay, so what could they do? They could do blood work. So imagine you went into your primary care physician's doctor, your doctor today, and you got blood work. And you went back tomorrow and you got more blood work. The day after, more blood work. And your blood work looks fine. He's going to say, great, we'll see you tomorrow. Next day, great, see you tomorrow. Great, see you tomorrow. Can he say, hey, I think tomorrow your cholesterol is going to start to go up. Hey, I think tomorrow you might have high blood pressure. No, because here's the thing. Unless there is something that is wrong, then the medical community has a hard time helping, right? Because it's not a wellness-based system. Their goal is not to keep you well. Their goal is to care for you when you're sick, right? And that's, thank goodness we have that model. But the problem with that model is then we think, hey, if everything's going well, I'm healthy. I feel like we all know the person, or it's like the friend of the friend, or my cousin's best friend, my brother's coworker, right? This kind of twice removed people who have gone to the doctor, have gotten an awesome blood workup, a clean bill of health, your heart looks great, And then they have a massive heart attack. And you're like, well, what? How come you didn't? You told me everything looks good. And their answer is, well, I mean, it did from the number wise, right? Because when the numbers, if the numbers look good, they think you're well. If you feel good, then you're well. And so the problem with that is it's not really promoting wellness. It's searching for disease. And if that disease isn't present, then we say, hey, everything looks pretty good, right? If numbers aren't wrong, how do medical doctors fix you? And that's kind of the conundrum, I think, that we're in. Because we are 100% in this mentality of like a, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of model for our health, which I think is crazy. Because people say, well, I don't need to do anything. I'm healthy. And that's unfortunately, even with the average pain-based chiropractic, they say, hey, if you don't have pain, you can come in for wellness, but why would you keep getting adjusted if you don't have pain? You know, and that's, why do you keep going to the dentist if you don't have cavities? And the answer is to prevent, right? Early detection, finding something before it's wrong. I can't tell you how many people will look at in the office and they'll have signs and symptoms of subluxation, right, where the bone shifts out of alignment, and we'll do some further investigation and we'll find severe degeneration in their neck. And they'll say, but I have no neck pain. Do you ever go to the dentist and they say, hey, you have a cavity? And you're like, but why? Where? Like, I don't have any pain. And they're like, right, but you have a cavity and you have to get this cavity fixed. But I don't have any pain. Why would I do anything if I don't have any pain? You know, it's the same thing when you look at in true prevention. It's not waiting until you have pain. It's not waiting until you're ill. It's not waiting until you have high blood pressure. It's not waiting until you have high cholesterol. You have diabetes to say, hey, now I need to start making those changes. Here's what's really interesting, though. And this is what I was talking to them about. And I'm like, man, I got to talk about this because it's so incredibly applicable. We have such value as a society, right? As a society, we have put incredible value on getting sick, being sick, and then getting well. We have placed ultimately no value on being well and staying well. Let me give you an example if that doesn't make quite sense to you. So imagine you come into my office on a cane, you can barely walk, and you're on 5 medications. And you start under care in the office, and we start getting you adjusted. You're doing all of your home exercises, and we fast forward in 18 months, 2 years, you're not on a cane, you're on no medication, and you're able to write zero medication. You went from 5 medication to 0 medication. Done. Your body doesn't need it anymore. How amazing is that? How amazing is it that you actually reversed disease process? How amazing is it that you took a cane and you don't need it anymore? You're moving, you're functioning, right? That's typically, I mean, we're guilty of it. People, I mean, we want to be able to share the reversing of disease process in our office. That's what most of our testimonies are, right? We just had one last week where Evelyn threw her fibromyalgia and depression medication. Her doctors are like, you don't need this anymore, right? So literally her prescribing physicians were like, you're good. Everything is great. Like, how do you feel good? Good. How amazing is that? Reversed fibromyalgia, reversed depression. So valuable. How much would you pay to reverse your fibromyalgia, not having to pay for medications and doctor's visits? What about this, though? What if I told you that Evelyn came into my office and she didn't have any pain? She felt great. Her blood work looked awesome. Her spine looked great. And she was on 0 medication. And then in 2 years, 18 months to 2 years, we looked at Evelyn and guess what? She is still on no medication. She still has no cane and she still has no pain. Her spine still looks great. How amazing is that, right? And in your mind, you're thinking that's not really that cool. It's not that cool. It's not really that cool. It's like, oh. Cool. So she's fine. She's still fine. Who's to say that if she wasn't living the 5 essentials, she wasn't making nutrition changes and getting adjusted, doing her home exercises, she still wouldn't be fine in 2 years. On the flip side of things, who said in those 2 years, if she wasn't caring for her health, that she wouldn't have created a disease process within those 2 years, right? And so when you look, there's such value on taking this sick person and getting them well. That's what we see as success in our office, right? It's society. If you are sick and you get well, man, there's such value. You'll pay a ton for that. But if I was to say, hey, you're really good, what are you going to do and what are you going to pay to make sure you stay good? What time investment are you going to make? What financial investment are you going to make to stay well? People are like, well, but I'm well. Why would I have to invest anything? Right? So it's just such this backwards model that we've created that in the United States, we put such value on being sick and getting well. And so if you were to say, hey, how much would you pay to reverse your fibromyalgia? People would say, I'd pay thousands of dollars. Okay, so what would you pay over the next 5 years to make sure you don't do anything to develop fibromyalgia? Would you pay that same $5,000 to be proactive on your health? And the hard part for the average person is it's hard for them to wrap their brain around that value. And so that's where, as a society, we have to start looking at things differently in what we value. Do we value sickness, reversing sickness, or do we value preventing sickness, right? And I think that's a huge thought process that from us, we have to change, right? This is why drug companies, I was talking to a patient who worked for research for clinical trials for different drugs. And I was telling him some research studies, and you look at the research studies with chiropractic and the cohorts are very small, right? So you look at these Cochrane studies that they oftentimes have with like drug companies, and you have 100,000 people or 200,000 people. And, you know, when we look at some of these chiropractic research studies, they have 20 or 30 people, right? And so a lot of the times people try to be dismissive of those studies because of the smaller cohort group, which I understand. But, you know, when I was talking to him, I said, here's the thing. When you look at that study that had 200,000 people, who funded that study? Because he's like, why don't you get these big studies done? Like, if because this is so amazing. And I said, absolutely. I said, who's going to pay for those studies, though? We don't have drug companies backing us up. You know, I own my office. You know, the guy up north, he owns his office. We own our own offices. And so we don't have millions of dollars to invest into these studies, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands. Right, so we have state association boards that we pay, you know, a couple hundred dollars to a year, maybe. So it's still not going to fund it. And so when you look at these huge research studies, they're funded typically by drug companies. We don't really want to have a drug company fund ours, right? We want to be able to. But the problem is that we don't have necessarily the huge funds and resources. Why? Why? Why do we not have that? Why do drug companies have so much money, right? They have millions of dollars to spend on commercials because it says, hi, sickness, we're going to get you better. We're going to make you feel better. It's like, imagine if you were to have the amount of money that a pharmaceutical company had, and you could start investing that in education about proper supplementations or proper nutrition or proper diet and exercise, right? Like when you're looking at this whole big picture, that's inevitably what we want to look for more is stop putting value in sickness and reversing sickness and start putting more of a health value when it comes to maintaining health, right? Preventing disease. Let's stop reversing disease and look at what we can do investment-wise for our health to start preventing disease, which means, hey, you feel good now? Good. Look, start preventing, right? Keep doing things to make you feel good, to keep your cells healthy. That's really what we want to look at overall, right? Now, when we come back, a lot of people right now are talking about the dangers of walkers. I want to talk about more if there are detrimental developmental problems as well when we return.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. She sets the city on fire, burns like a million lighters. I'm going up, I couldn't get much higher. She sets the city on fire.
That's what we're designed to do. We're going to set the city on fire, change the way that healthcare is viewed and managed. I 100% believe that that is my purpose here on earth. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or you can schedule an appointment online. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Again, that's GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Now, you know, when you look at what we do in the office, I always tell people, you know, I don't have to do what I do. I get to do what I do, which is pretty cool. We get to be a part of people's health transformations. I actually have a patient that started a couple months ago, and he came in. He had a cane. He could barely walk. He was taking 8 gabapentin a day. And that 8 gabapentin a day had him able to function. But he didn't like how it made him feel. And he knew that there was more underlying going on. And so we started him getting correctively adjusted, which I think is noteworthy. If you ever come into our office does not necessarily look like the average chiropractor office, right? It's not the reception desk where you sit in a chair and you wait. I mean, we have a waiting area, but you'll walk in and you'll notice that you hear people laughing and it's loud and we have table drops. So you hear this thumping that's going on, or our arthrostim. So you hear this constant clicking. It's a motorized. So it's not the like finger click. It's a bigger one. And you'll see people doing cervical traction. So they're against the wall with these big, tall traction units. And you'll see them wobbling. And we have vibration therapy with different weighting systems. And so we have all of this stuff in place, right? So it's not like a walk-in, sit down. Okay, let's walk you back to the office. The doctor's going to see you now, right? It's just, it's amazing. It is seriously amazing. So there are people whose lives are getting transformed. And so he started with a corrective adjustment. So we work not only with specific adjustments that are not taught in chiropractic school. We have a specialty, and that specialty is actually designed to help correct the structure of the spine. So you have a leg length discrepancy because your pelvis is unlevel. We actually look at correcting that. You've lost the curvature in your neck. You have military neck. You've lost the curve. We actually look at correcting that. Most people don't know those things are reversible, and that is 100% of what we do in our office. It is what about 2% of chiropractors in the world do within their office. So what we do is very different. And I'm incredibly biased, but we see results that where ordinary medicine and chiropractic have failed, this is where people thrive in our office, right? So we started doing corrective adjustments. He started doing his home exercises. And a couple months later, we sat down with him and went through a reevaluation. And the day before, we went through this re-x-ray, right? Because what we'll do is we'll say, hey, here are your x-rays when you started. Here's what your x-rays look like now. And we see changes in your x-rays. I think that's an important part. Most people oftentimes will take x-rays initially when they go in. And they'll get adjusted a couple times a week for, you know, a couple weeks or a couple months. But like, do they take re-x-rays at the end? Do they x-ray you at the end to see what changed? If they don't, that's not a correction office. Your spine looks the same after 3 months of care. Well, you've got to decide, is that really what you desire? Or do you want to see a change in the structure? So I noticed a couple adjustments before we had taken x-rays. He kept forgetting his cane. And so I brought him his cane out. I said, hey, do you think you need this still? And he said, absolutely. I said, if you keep forgetting your cane in here, I'm going to take it. And I wouldn't really take his cane. But, you know, it was just one of those ones. I said, you realize you're using this cane as a crutch, literally and figuratively. You're using this cane as a crutch. I said, if you're walking in here without it and you're walking out of here without it, why are you using it? And that was the last day he brought in his cane. When we went through his reevaluation process, he had gone from 8 gabapentin down to 3. 8 to 3. It's awesome. He said, yeah, but I don't want to take any of it anymore. So keep talking with your doctor, your prescribing physician, and let's figure out where do you want to be? Hey, where do you want to be? And fast forward 3 more months, and he is now gabapentin free. Why? Because he cared for himself, because he put himself first. He allotted the time and the money that it took to start regaining his health. You know, I always give accolades to the people who are in their 20s. I say, hey, good job being proactive with your health. You know, that's ultimately the goal, is not, again, to wait until we're sick to try to get well. But now let's get into some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications. Maybe
today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
Today, on the list of health in the news, recently came out articles all over, this is from CNN more specifically, talks about more than 9,000 U.S. children are injured by infant walkers every year, a study finds. More than 9,000 children are injured by infant walkers every year. So this is interesting, because I'm going to give you a different take in terms of injury. This injury, I believe, is talking more, well, we'll go through. So changes in safety standards led to a steep drop in the number of babies injured using infant walkers. Still more than 9,000 U.S. children are injured using the device every year, according to a study recently published in the Journal of Pediatrics. Between 1990 and 2014, an estimated 230,000 children under 15 months of age were treated for injuries related to infant walkers. More than 90% of incidents led to head and neck injuries, and the most common cause of injury, 74%, was falling down the stairs. Other causes of injuries include falling out of the walker and proximity-related injuries, such as a child pulling or touching an object that they were unable to reach when in the device. That they were able to reach when they were in the device. So the American Academy of Pediatrics has called for a ban on baby walkers with wheels. It suggests parents throw away walkers in their home and entertain their child in stationary activity centers and with other activities. The devices have no developmental advantages and create a risk for children, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. Other countries, such as Canada, have a complete ban on the sales and manufacturers of baby walkers. We'll go into it in a second. One of the authors said he had an interest in baby walker related injuries since he began his medical training 30 years ago. As an emergency and pediatric physician, he has treated babies who are injured while using walkers. The paper states that in 1997, certain voluntary safety standards were put in place, such as requirements for the infant walker frame to be wider than the 36-inch doorway, or have a braking device if one or more wheels had dropped over the edge. In 2010, Consumer Product Safety Commissions made these standards mandatory and more stringent, right? So 13 years later. So it goes on to talk about in a 4-year period after the safety standards became mandatory, walker-related injuries decreased by 23% compared with the 4 years before when the standards were voluntary. Although injuries from falls decreased, the study found that the other causes of injuries slightly increased. So I said, yeah, they don't fall as much, but now they have all the other injuries. People think they're cute and fun. Theoretically, anything you can do to put a child in something to keep them occupied while you're trying to get things done is a great thing. as a mom of a toddler, rephrase, as a pregnant mom who has a toddler, I understand why people put kids in these, right? They're less, they're still obviously mobile in the walkers, but they're less mobile. You can keep track of them. There's a little bit of a buffer zone where it is harder for them to reach things that they probably shouldn't reach. But here's what I see, and this is where I kind of laughed. So I have a friend, and he just had a baby, and his wife is from the Philippines. And when she moved here a couple years ago, I remember her like saying, "Why would you ever use those? We are literally," and when I looked at the study, I said, I wonder if this is like a worldwide study or is it just for the U.S.? And most of it's just for the United States because other countries don't use these walkers. Like, they are non-existent. They even talked about Canada. I feel like, if anything, Canada is one of the closer countries to ours, not geographically, but you know what I mean? So, and they banned it because they're like, here's what's interesting about this, though. You know, obviously falls down the stairs and stuff like that. Yeah, that's detrimental. We don't want any babies to get hurt. But what you don't realize is the developmental detriment, which I will try not to say too often. That's rough. It's a tongue twister. Developmental detriment. The problems that these walkers cause in the development of infants. Again, not new information. But when they talk about how, you know, we put these in and parents start to see the babies crawling and they're pulling themselves up. So they think, hey, it's not going to be long before they start walking. And so what they do is they think this is actually going to develop their motor skills more for walking and provide mental stimulation by allowing the baby to explore a broader environment. The problem is that these walkers have come under attack, under safety hazards, when you're talking about the development of that. And so they can't stand up on their own, right? And so it doesn't actually foster an infant's motor and mental development. It actually has been found to impair it. So there was Dr. Carol Siegel, so it was an experimental psychologist and postdoctoral fellow at the University of Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. And they tracked the motor and mental skills of 109 infants aged 6 to 15 months to determine the developmental effect of spending part of each day in a walker. They emphasize that all babies that she studied had bedwetting normal ranges on tests, but those who use walkers had been relatively delayed in their motor and mental development. The babies were not followed long enough to know whether the ones who use walker eventually caught up. But the infant walkers, which are the hanging seats from the frames, right, where the legs dangle and the feet touch the floor, the infants are typically placed in the walkers between 4 and 5 months, and they use them till they're about 10 months old. She found, and they did a research study, they looked at kids at 6 months, 9 months, and 12 months and assessed their motor and mental skills at the start of the study and again 3 months later. She determined when and for how long the baby used the walker and tested their language, memory, perception, and motor skills. And they did it through the Bayley scales of mental and motor development. She also asked the parents to record when the babies mastered various skills like crawling and walking. On average, infants who did not use the walker sat at 5 months, crawled at 8 months, and began to walk in their 10th month, while babies who used the walkers that blocked their view of their feet first sat near at the end of 6 months, crawled at 9 months, so a whole month later, and walked at almost 12. Babies who walkers permitted them to see their feet and crawled at an age of midway between the group. So it was really interesting. You don't think about, you know, as a doctor, when we, for me, we're doctor of nervous system. And so we look at development of babies. And oftentimes we see children and infant who are developmentally delayed. And, you know, it's just one where it's like, is their brain not functioning properly, or is what we're doing not allowing them to be able to reach those milestones as quickly for development and motor because of convenience, right? Because that's really why we put them in there. We think it's cute and it's convenient to be able to get a whole bunch of stuff done. Whew, believe me, if you can buy 5 minutes to like put in a load of laundry, unload the dishwasher, clean some dishes and, you know, prep a meal, it's like that 5 minutes is golden. But we've got to figure out how we can do that where it's not compromising the development of our children. So most people don't realize, yeah, obviously it's a safety hazard. But if you were to ask me, because that study that I read you actually came out over 20 years ago, like it's not a new study. And so it's in terms of development of our children, that's the one we got to look at more so. So when we come back, I have a testimony to share with you of just someone whose life has again been transformed at our office when we return.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You can schedule an appointment, come in, initial exam, consultation. We'll evaluate, see if you need any x-rays. Really just get down to the root cause of the problem and figure out what it is we can do to help you. I mean, I think that's one thing that we've always been very candid with people is if we can't help you, we'll let you know. See, I can't tell you how many people brought in their MRIs and we go look and see, you know, if this is something we can help with. Absolutely. If this is something that needs more attention or, you know, it maybe if you have pain and we take x-rays and you don't have an MRI, we need to refer you out for an MRI, depending on what that MRI finds. You know, there's a patient who came in who we started to see and he started, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer and, you know, we weren't seeing the great results and we weren't seeing the results and we kind of changed some things and adjustments and home exercises. And so finally we said, hey, let's get a second set of eyes on this. And the second set's going to be with soft tissue and we're going to look at an MRI. So referred him out for an MRI. And, when we referred him out for the MRI, it came back that the placement of the disc bulge, I knew there was a chiropractic technique that we don't have in the office that I think would benefit him even more. And so what we did is we referred him out to that doc and he saw great results, you know, and it's like a lot of the times we can help with. And if we can't, let's find you someone who can. You know, our ultimate goal is to get you well. And sometimes that's in our office and sometimes it's not. But here's what we see. You've got to start somewhere. Right. You've got to be able to start somewhere to be able to find how exactly we do that. And so I want to share with you a testimony. It's Greg's testimony. Greg's been a patient now for several years. This is actually a little bit ago. And what I think is great about Greg's testimony is that we're actually having an event coming up here in the next couple of weeks. If you want to be able to check out our events, go to our website, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You can check out and get registered for any of our events that we have in the office. And so he's actually a testimony at our events because this is a couple years ago where he really dove in head first, did it all, saw amazing results. And guess what happened? Life happened. And with life and what happens with life, sometimes we regress and we don't do as well. And what's awesome is that Greg recommitted. And so Greg's testimony, this is a testimony he shared a while back. This is now a testimony he's sharing again. He's back on track. He's back on the supplements. He has more energy. He has less inflammation. He's feeling great again. You know, and I think that's a process of life, is that there's not a destination when it comes to health. Health is a journey, right? So you don't reach like a certain weight loss goal or a certain A1C where you say, I'm going to go back to what I was doing before. It's a journey, and you continue on with that journey. And so, you know, with that being said, that's one of our ultimate goals. So, with that, we're going to share Greg's initial testimony of just some of the changes that he saw in the office.
Greg, thank you so much for sharing your testimony.
Thank you.
So I want you to share with everyone, what were some of the things that you experienced before you came to Greenwood Family Chiropractic?
Gained and lost a lot of weight several different times. And
so when you say, because is that 5 pounds? Is it 10 pounds? No. How much weight did you lose?
No, I was over 100 pounds twice.
Wow.
In my life. So.
And so what were some of the other things that you experienced before you started coming into the office?
Well, I work construction, and it was very difficult being that size and getting up and down and trying to keep up with the other guys. And it was just slowing me down big time.
So let's talk about how you got started in the office.
My wife attended the Reboot Your Hormone Challenge in March of 2016, and she signed up to get x-rays and stuff. So I came with her to view her x-rays and learn about what she was going to be experiencing so that I could be part of it, at least know what was going on. And when I saw her x-rays, I was a little alarmed, and I knew how I felt. Spine just felt, I felt compacted, felt like a slinky that needed to be unslunk. And I was very concerned about my own spine and x-rays, so I signed up also.
So you got x-rays and you started in the office.
Yes.
So what are some of the changes now that you've seen since you've started here?
Well, within the first 30 days, we did that 30-day challenge. I lost 45 pounds.
Wait, so I think that's important. Yeah. How much weight did you lose?
45 pounds.
In how many days?
In 30.
Nice.
Yeah.
45 pounds in 30 days.
Yep, and it was just amazing how it just melted off. And I refused to step on the scale until day 27. Mm-hmm. I wanted to wait till day 30, but I was talked into stepping on the scale, and it was 42 pounds on day 27.
Yes.
And it was just following the plan. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's important because people always want to know, they're unsure of what to do, and
yes,
we really just gave you exactly what to do, and you just followed it.
Yep, to the T.
So you lost that 45 pounds, and so how long did you keep it off? Did you gain it back?
No, it's been a steady loss, and I finally have plateaued out, and I'd say it's about 10 months. So I've lost right at 100 pounds.
Wait, hold on. Again, how many pounds?
Right at 100 pounds.
100 pounds.
Doing what you teach
and
what Maximized Living teaches. So it's, you just live it, and it happens. It's crazy.
Yeah. So with that 100-pound weight loss, so what are some of the other changes that you've seen along, besides just the weight loss, which is awesome? Do you see any other or experience any other changes throughout?
The energy is crazy. Working construction and working around younger guys and trying to keep up with them was a struggle before. It's not a struggle anymore. I mean, it's just endless amount of energy.
Yeah.
Endless.
That's awesome. So you've got energy, you've got the weight loss.
Yes.
Anything else good that changed?
Just the quality of life. We've got a grandson. He's 6 months old. We'll be 6 months next week. And so it's very nice to be able to just play with him on the floor and just get up and get down and do whatever you want to do. It's just nothing hinders physically anymore. So it's
awesome.
Nice.
So if you were talking to everyone who's listening, what would be the one thing that you would most tell them about if they had any fears or trepidation coming into the office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic?
Well, if anybody's like me, you want a plan to follow, and they have a plan to follow. And to see the results that you get from the plan, it just makes you want to live it every day. And we have continued to live it today still, and don't plan on going backwards at all. The weight loss has been, I wouldn't say effortless, but there's been no yo-yoing at all. The body has plateaued itself out, and it's very exciting from a standpoint of somebody that's struggled all of his life with weight.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, if you want to learn more about what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, I commend you. Take action. Because the one thing that I see most is that people say, oh my goodness, that's such a good idea. I'm going to do this. And then they say, but I'm just going to wait until next week. Right? And it's called the power of diminishing intent. So what happens is that we say we're going to do it, and then over time we forget and things happen and life happens and you just don't. That's why I encourage you, you know, sign up for an appointment in the office. Initial exam and consultations, $25. If we have to take x-rays, we'll go through what those costs look like when you come into the office. But this is the time to be able to take your health back into your own hands, to be able to make those decisions to not continue to be sick, right? Our goal is not to reverse illness. Our goal is to prevent illness and disease. So you have to make that choice now. Are you going to be that person who continues to keep working to try to reverse that sickness? And if you do, you know what? Maybe you need help. And that's exactly what we're here for at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or you can go online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. And you can schedule an appointment. Go on there. We'll figure out a time that works best for you, exactly what we can do to help. But overall, just coming to the point of figuring out, hey, we want to be there to support you the most that we possibly can whenever we can. So how do we do it? Right? How do we do it? And that's really what it comes down to. We are here for you all the time, every time. But you got to come in, right? We can't help you if we don't know who you are. We can't help you if we've never met you. We can't help you if you haven't helped yourself and reached out and made an appointment, right? Again, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. If you leave a message, if it's over the weekend, even during the week, we'll get back to you. The first thing we do when we get into the office, we check our voicemails and we call everyone back. So 317-893-2853, that's 893-2853, or you can check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Schedule an appointment. Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate you being proactive on your health, but always remember this, your power is on.